This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask me another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. So, okay, a few episodes ago at the beginning of the show, we were talking about how I'm trying, you know, we're playing games at home. I'm playing with my five-year-old, and he has a really hard time losing.
I remember, yeah.
So in response, a bunch of our listeners reached out to me and suggested all these different cooperative games that are out there that I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is fantastic. And I went on, and this was actually right around the holidays, and, you know, these games were sold out primarily. But I managed to get one called Outfoxed.
Outfoxed. I don't know that one.
And it arrived, and I pulled it out and said, Lucas, you know, we have a new game, which, of course, anything new, game, these are magic words right now. Magic words.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that for sure. Yeah.
And it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like Clue, I guess, a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cooperative game, so we all figure it out together. And then when we've decided who we think the culprit is, we say that name and he does the reveal. And then we go, yay. And so there is no winner, loser. He loves this. I mean, the first night we got it, this is not an exaggeration, we played 15 times.
Oh, man.
Just over and over and over.
I was going to say, I miss that age when they make you do everything over and over again, but it's not true. I don't miss that age.
I don't know. I kind of liked it. There were, you know, and even though it's for a very young age, there were a few times where I was like, this is a hard one.
Like, well, who is the culprit?
I can't figure it out. I was sufficiently entertained and involved.
Oh, right.
Also, it's like my son is sort of still learning to roll a dice.
Yeah.
He does that thing where he just puts them in his hand and then moves his hand back and forth and then lays them out. So then you just get the same roll as last time.
You get him a dice cup or a dice tower.
A dice tower?
It's a way of making sure that the dice actually roll and that there's no funny business.
Great idea. I like this idea of like basically turning my home into what seems like a high stakes casino, but all the games we're playing are cooperative.
It's all cooperative games. And you're playing for money too.
Yeah.
But it's cooperative. So when you just split it at the end.
But speaking of a space where everybody wins.
I know. I can think of a game where everybody wins all the time. Why don't you and I cooperate?
Yes.
So that we all can win.
Oh, I love that. Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
We have a great show today. Our special guest is half of the great sketch duo Key and Peele. It's Keegan-Michael Key. We'll talk to him about the history of comedy, his history in comedy, and the histories, comedies, and tragedies of Shakespeare. Also, we heard you like music parody games, so we put two of them in this episode. We'll play one with Kulap Vilaysack and Soo Chin Pak, and the other with actors from the Netflix series Bonding, Brendan Scannell and Matt Wilkes. Let's do it. Our first two guests star in the Netflix show Bonding, which is about a subject we can't really talk about on a family show. Think 50 Shades of Grey, but funny. And you're kind of there. Brendan Scannell and Matt Wilkes, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Welcome. I just want to start by saying I love that Bonding as a show, as a topic, exists.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. It's definitely one of the shows where, as it was coming out, I was like, I wonder how my family's going to feel about this.
Right.
And I'm deeply Irish Catholic. My mom has 8 siblings and my dad has 5. And all my aunts and uncles are like, love that show with all the whips and leather.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I feel like everything I ever do, I'm half naked in. So I'm at this point, I'm just kind of used to it.
Right. At some point, you're like, I and a hat? That's too much. The hat's
right,
too much.
Right. I know. This season, they had a jumper made for me and with an apron over it. And I was like, whoa, I'm clothed. I'm actually fully clothed right now.
You're like, what a strange turn.
Are you sure?
All right. Well, are you up for some games? Would you guys like to play some games?
I love games.
Yes, you do.
I love games. Yes, you do.
So you're going to take turns answering questions in this first game. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to describe fictional animals as if they were presented at a competition like the Westminster Dog Show.
Okay.
So some of these animals are dogs, but some of them are not. You just tell us the name of the animal or the title of the work that it comes from.
Okay.
Brendan, this is for you. Next in the working group, we have a Great Dane who deviates from the breed standard. He's over 5 feet tall. The judge will now watch his gait, and look at this. He's walking on his hind legs. Some highly unusual behavior from this dog, as he seems to be leaning over to talk to his handler, Shaggy. Yes, he's saying to Shaggy, "Ruh-roh."
Oh, well, I mean, this is has to be Miss Scooby-Doo.
That's right. Miss Scooby-Doo.
I always love the mask reveal they would have. There were, like, double mask reveals, too. Like, where, like, it was a ghost, and then, like, they took it off, and it was someone, and they took, like, the mask off that person, and it was someone else. I mean...
Yeah, I was always surprised at how many people's first names were Old Man.
It's just what they go by. It's just where we go them.
Old Man Jenkins.
I'm definitely Old Man Wilkes, for sure, in my life.
All right, Old Man Wilkes, this one is for you.
Okay.
This entrant in the herding group was raised on a farm and found his true calling herding sheep. He looks comfortable in the stacked position, but the judge is a little confused by his hooves and curly tail. It's his first time here at Madison Square Garden, but he seems to be adjusting to being a pig in the city.
Babe, Pig in the City!
Oh,
I never seen that. It's supposed to be adorable, though.
It is pretty cute. I mean, talking animals, I have no problem with talking animals.
Yeah, and pigs are so cute. There's someone in my neighborhood that has a pet pig, and they walk. I live in the Village and in New York City, and like there's a person who has a pet pig, and he walks the pet pig around my neighborhood, and it's really cute.
It's very big. I'm in Brooklyn, and no one has a pet pig. I feel like there's something wrong here.
Yeah, you're right. They should be in Brooklyn. They should be in, like, Bushwick or something.
Ariana Grande also has a pet pig.
Really?
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Just out of curiosity, is the pet pig wearing any coats or
boots?
I don't
recall that ever. Although I do follow, listen, I'm going to plug this. I follow this pig on Instagram because he has an Instagram account. It's Giblet the Piglet. So you can actually go check out Giblet the Piglet and see what I'm talking about. And Giblet the Piglet follows me. I feel very proud of that.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. A follow back from Giblet.
Is Giblet active? Does Giblet like comment and like what you're up to? And
I would just expect a lot of like political memes.
Yeah, I guess if you ever get sick of it, just like a couple bacon jokes. Over!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Brendan, for you. Now we have the toy group. Literally, this junior handler is a precocious 6-year-old boy who's conversing with his stuffed tiger while walking around the ring. Perhaps we don't see the tiger the same way he does.
Oh, I know this. Oh, it's a...
Philosophers...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is, sorry, you guys, I'm very young. This is before
That's okay.
my time. I know it. It's on. I forget. Yes.
Calvin.
Hobbes.
There you go. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well done.
It was like John Locke.
John Locke?
John Locke.
Is it Locke and Kent? Yeah. No.
Right.
No.
Plato and Kierkegaard.
Yeah, Kierkegaard. and Nietzsche? Oh, I love Kierkegaard and Nietzsche. Hilarious cartoon
Very different
strip.
Comic. All right, Matt.
Okay.
I've never seen a dog with this color fur. She seems to be leading her handler, Steve, around the arena to a series of clues marked with paw prints. What could she want? It's a real mystery. Can you solve it?
Well, I can't believe I know this, but is Blue's Clues? Is it
Blue's
Blue?
Clues? That's right. Blue, yes. Blue the dog from Blue's Clues.
I only know this because I auditioned to be the the guy.
Really?
A long, long time ago.
What
yeah.
was that audition so, like?
I can't remember. I think it was improvised. I had to like go and they would give me like, you know, basically prompts and I would have to just improvise.
Mm-hmm. That means they didn't hire a writer.
Exactly. Yeah,
Right.
Yeah.
The guy that they hired, I don't know, he's great though.
Amazing.
Okay, Brandon, this one is for you. Our next contender is a sky bison. And I see his handler, Aang, is feeding him some moon peaches. He's 15 feet tall with white fur and a gray arrow on his forehead, has six legs, and he can fly. Oh, loves those moon peaches.
Okay, so I know the show.
Great. That's great. That's
Avatar,
all you need.
Avatar, Last Airbender?
Yes,
yeah.
That is correct.
Wow, I had no idea.
And that is Appa.
Appa.
Yeah. Brendan, how did you know that? How did you even know that?
I watched it when it came out when I was a kid. And then I feel like it's one of those shows that like the TikTok teens have sort of like, or
yeah,
like Twitter
yeah.
teens have sort of discovered.
That's right.
And as a 14-year-old myself,
I know it.
My contemporaries and I love the show.
I know. It came out 1 year before you were born. It's hard to believe.
Yeah. All right, here is the last clue, and it's for you, Matt.
Okay.
Hailing from the 100-acre wood, this animal was bred to be a wonderful thing, known for his top, made out of rubber, and his bottom, made out of springs. He presents a challenge to the judges, as there's no breed standard, for he is the only one.
You guys, I have no idea.
I'll give you some hints. He bounces.
Okay.
He speaks with a lateral lisp.
Okay.
He is striped.
Carol Channing.
I'll give you the point for that.
I'm going to give you the point because that was so funny.
I really have no idea. Wait, what? Oh, Tigger.
Tigger, yeah. That's right, from Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, you got it.
Okay, you both did great. You did
Yay.
Fantastic. Well done. Nice showing. I like that. I'm going to say showing from now on instead of great game. Nice showing.
Excellent
that's,
showing.
That's great. More with Brendan Scannell and Matt Wilkes after the break. And Jonathan Coulton better warm up that guitar because we have two music parodies coming up. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot, so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and changing the lyrics to songs people used to love. I'm Jonathan Coulton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with two stars of the Netflix series Bonding, Brendan Scannell and Matt Wilkes. Are you ready for another one?
Oh, yes.
Yes, please.
Excellent. This is very exciting because guess what? Jonathan Coulton will sing you the clues in this next game called Move to the Music.
Yes, we have changed the lyrics to songs about moving to make them about the process of moving into a new home.
So every answer is something you may need during your move. Just name the moving accessory that I'm singing about, or the title of the song that I am parodying, or the artist who made it famous.
Okay.
I just moved, so I'm feeling really good about this.
Good. Well, so it's fresh in your mind.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go back and forth here. Matt, this first one is for you.
Fill it out, Jack, or your mail will go back. Wrong door, wrong door, wrong door, wrong door. Fill it out, Jack, because you don't live there no more.
Okay. Hit the Road, Jack, is the
song. That's right. Ray Charles.
And it is it like a mail, I don't know the official word for this, a mail redirecting slip?
Yeah, that's right. They call it a change of address form.
Yes.
Oh, I've lived in my apartment for 18 years now, so like I haven't had to deal with that yet. And I'm just kind of terrified of that.
What?
It's rent stabilized too.
Ow. I don't need this more bragging. Okay, just for I can't handle it.
Just for our non-New York City listeners, that means that it costs $5 a month.
That's right.
All right, Brendan, here's one for you.
Well, my felty tip is not yet bent. My dark black ink is permanent. My writing on this box shows what's inside. This stuff is all extraneous. Use me to write miscellaneous.
Okay, so that's leaving on a jet plane.
That's right.
And a Sharpie?
A Sharpie, that is correct, yeah.
Oh, I love a Sharpie. Mm-hmm. God, I love a Sharpie.
It's a good marker. Okay, Matt, here you go. This one is for you.
Okay, all right.
Grab another page in that final desperate packing stage. Use the stuff you'd use to line your parrot's cage. Check the recycle bin and grab another page.
On the Road Again.
Yeah,
and,
that's right. Willie Nelson.
Newspaper?
Newspaper, yes. Brendan, last one is for you.
To make a fragile atom tough, swaddle it in this plastic stuff. But keep the extra when you're done. Popping it is a lot of fun.
Okay, this song did take me back. Is this Move Along by All American Rejects?
Yeah, that is correct.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
One time I played that song for my mom in the car, and I was like, this is the type of music I like.
What kind of music what does she like that is the counter to that?
I mean, I grew up listening to like Phantom of the Opera, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay. Right.
She was really big into like the 80s, 70s and 80s Broadway musicals.
Uh-huh.
And also, now that I'm thinking of it, It's Raining Men she played a lot, which I would sing with her.
I love that. Who didn't like that song?
And so I think the item is bubble wrap?
Bubble wrap, yeah, that's correct.
Oh, thank you.
Another incredible game. As we say here, all winners. Mostly us for having both of you on.
Yes.
But thank you so much, Brendan Scannell and Matt Wilkes, star in the Netflix series Bonding. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Kulap Vilaysaw created the show Bajillion Dollar Properties and has appeared on the TV show and podcast Comedy Bang Bang. Journalist Suchin Pak has reported on ABC, NBC, and is a veteran of MTV News. Together, they host the podcast Add to Cart, about what we buy and what it says about us. Kulap, Suchin, welcome to Ask Me Another.
This Hello. Is very exciting. Hi.
How's it going today?
It's good. Suchin is nervous.
Oh, yeah? For the games? Or
yes,
just
because she's competitive.
Yeah. With everybody, Suchin, or just with Kulap?
Kulap brings out a certain bubbly competitiveness, if you will. Whereas usually my competitiveness has like a dagger's edge, serrated.
Jeez.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't want to compete with you.
Yeah, well, I'm also, you know, we're both overachieving Asian A-plusers.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anytime you tell me that I have to do something well, I just go into that mode.
So you host a podcast called Add to Cart. It's about online shopping, which I will say that I listened to one of the recent ones and I've made a purchase from listening to your episode.
What'd you get?
It's the toilet brush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that is an exciting story. I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah. Jonathan, do you know about this?
The Lumi toilet brush, do you know about this?
I don't,
sir.
No, but I'm in the market for a new toilet brush. Tell me about it.
Oh, it's not just toilet brush.
Look no further.
Please, let him in.
So, Soo-jin. Jonathan, before Lumi brush, if you will, you don't have to get into the details of it, but we all know how you clean your toilet because we all clean the toilet the same way. You stick a dirty brush into a dirty bowl, you swish it around, and then you put said dirty brush right back into its little container.
Yeah, it's filthy
catty. There's
no
science. There's no, as I like to say, future in that. So
right.
Enter Lumi Brush, which is, I believe, the first of its kind. I'm not sure. But you put it in and a blue UV light goes on for 4 minutes in the base when you put the brush in, and it sanitizes the brush so that it's clean every time you use it.
I have this right beside me. This is the top of a water bottle that uses UV to clean it.
Ah. Yeah. Oh.
Now, if I put my toilet brush within this, would that...
Yeah, just get it.
In theory, you could just drink that water. You could just take that brush from the toilet brush base and put it right in your... I have full faith in the science. I'm sure it works. And I have no qualms about putting it in said water bottle.
Okay, fantastic. Now, we've established that you're competitive. So this is going to be great because our first game, we are going to have you basically compete against each other.
Great.
All right. So we're going to play audio clips of fictional TV shows that appear within real TV shows.
All right.
Okay. And you just have to name the real TV show that this fictional television show comes from.
Okay.
Kulap, in this clip, two students at Greendale College imagine their characters from the show Inspector Spacetime.
That was close, Constable Reggie. I thought those Blorgons had us dead to rights.
What on better earth do they want from us, Inspector?
Question isn't what they want from us, Constable. But when?
Inspector, look out! Blorgons!
That is from Community.
That is correct.
Yes.
Well done. Mm,
thank you.
You knew it right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning, before you started the clip.
Soo-jin, pressure is on.
Oh, boy. I want you to play the clip, but before you play the clip, I just wanted to say that, you know, I grew up in a non-English-speaking household. That never allowed me to watch television. Cool up. Let me continue with my sad story of why I am who I am. Anyway, go ahead. Play the clip.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. If you guys could make sure to have a bed of strings playing underneath her excuses, that would be great.
All right, Soo-jin, here we go.
Okay.
This interview show within a show airs in Georgia's capital city on the fictional Black American Network.
Please welcome Antoine Smalls to the show.
Hello, Montague. Thank you for having me on your show.
Is it Atlanta?
It is Atlanta. Yes. That is the name of the show, right?
And that's only Donald because Glover. I know the capital of Georgia, not that
well,
I've
that
ever
counts.
Seen that show.
That I absolutely
recognize
counts.
That clip.
Two Donald Glover answers.
I'm just going to say this whole show, all of our shows are really about Donald Glover, if you listen closely enough.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful.
Isn't everything?
But I'm just going to say, however, Soo-jin, you get to the answer, it's all the same. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Suddenly I'm wide awake and leaning in. This is my kind of game.
Oh, man.
All right. This sitcom called Kevin comes from an HBO series starring... and created by Issa Rae.
Kevin, Kevin, it's
answer is Insecure. That is my final answer.
Yes, that is correct.
I love that show. Although, what was the last season about? But anyway, that's okay.
All right, Suchin.
Yeah.
This is the last clue of the game.
Okay.
When the Whistle Blows is a sitcom within a sitcom from a British comedy starring Ricky Gervais. Here is the opening theme song.
Factory floor, what a chore, another week's craft. 50 tons a day I hear. Whatever happened to my dreams, is this the life I chose? The highlight of my rainy day is when the whistle blows.
Extras?
Yeah, well the American done. Version. Well the British version was called Ancillary.
Oh, was it?
No.
I was like, oh.
No, just a dumb joke. Just a dumb joke.
No, not a dumb joke. By the way, totally gullible. I was, of course, it's called Ancillary.
So turns out that it's a tie.
It's a tie.
Oh, yep. You guys.
It doesn't feel great. I got to tell you guys, it doesn't feel great.
We're playing games with Kulap Vilaysak and Suchin Pak. Are you ready for another game?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. So this next one is tough. Okay. So you're going to work together because it requires a lot. Since you host a podcast about buying stuff, we have a game about shameless commerce and musical theater, and we call it Broadway Brands.
So I will perform a Broadway show tune, but with the lyrics changed to be about a brand. For example, if I sang Fugue for Tin Horns from the musical Guys and Dolls, but with the lyrics changed to be about burgers and peanuts from Five Guys, you would answer Five Guys and Dolls.
Okay. Oh, God. Yes.
Deep breath.
Yeah. Ooh, leaning in.
Leaning in. Here we go.
Lawn and garden, much to my chagrin, need to rent equipment before I can begin. Digging in the grass. I'm landscaping the hillside, and the trusty riding mower makes a rugged sound as I cross the lawn making circles on the ground. Cause I'm cutting all the grass. I'm riding this green tractor. Whoa.
Okay, I've got it. Suchin, do you have ideas?
I don't even know one piece of that answer.
It is John Deere Evan Hansen.
Yeah, that's correct. You got it, John Deere, and that was Waving Through a Window from Deere Evan Hansen.
Yes.
Well done.
Yeah. Finally, a musical for tractor enthusiasts.
Have you seen that musical? I know. I. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever, I'm trying to think I've ever seen a Broadway musical.
Ever?
I was going to ask if you guys are musical theater fans or not.
I am, and I saw this on Broadway, and at the end of it, the entire audience had been crying so much that we were all shocked when the lights came up.
Yeah,
and we're just
yeah.
like, we have to see each other?
Too soon.
We have to.
It was too soon.
Yeah. When I saw that show, there was a woman behind me who was audibly sobbing, like choking sobs, through most of the second act.
That was me.
And it was like... I felt bad because it was at the same time I was like, "Wow, she's having a real legit theater experience. That's amazing." But I was also like, "Can you please
a little quiet I'm trying down. To listen?"
It is weird that we go to a musical together, Jonathan. You sit in front of me and then talk about me like this,
and I don't look at you when you're crying. Yeah, that's how. So. Okay. Here's the next one.
Mama, I'm dirty. Mama, please bathe me. Hand me that bar of soap that smells oh so fresh. Might be from Dublin, made by Palmolive. They say it's manly, but I like it too.
Irish Spring Awakening?
Yeah, you got it. That's right.
I don't know Spring Awakening, but that was just thinking of different.
That is exactly how it's done. The name of that song is Mama Who Bore Me.
And then what is Spring Awakening about?
Isn't it about people having sex? No? I don't know.
And then I didn't see that
it's
one.
A coming of like age. We say a coming of age story in
and
all
circles. Oh, okay.
And,
right.
And just like the commercial for Irish Spring, they go, yes. And I like it too.
Yeah.
Like that's what the woman says.
And I like it too. All right, here's another one.
Okay.
There's so much they make for us to snack on. Cracker Jack. Doritos and Tostitos. I can't stop, for that no one would fault me. A pound a bag and then I'm very thirsty cause they're salty.
Okay, Les Miserables. I love that musical so much that I was starting to sing the real lyrics in my head, which is not good for the game.
And it's something about a snack that's salty.
Snack chips.
So mm-hmm.
Doritos, Tostitos, Cracker Jacks.
Frito-Lay Miserables.
Yeah, yes! That's right.
Two Chan Park!
That's it. That is it.
All right, this is the last one.
Okay.
Dunk! This cookie and some milk, what a crunchy chocolate dream. You can subdivide, eat what's inside. Though it's tasty, it isn't really cream.
Oreos.
Oreo.
This is an old musical.
Oh.
No, is it an older musical? Is it like a western-y type of musical?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, oh my God, we had this record.
Oklahoma.
Yes.
Oklahoma. Ori Oklahoma is correct.
Oklahoma, yes.
Okay. I will say that, once again, 100%. What can I say? 100%.
Yeah, I guess.
Collectively, you got everything right.
Everything.
All right, so I accept this win. I'm just, then now my question is, are we better than other guests?
I'm gonna say like top two.
Woo!
Yeah, top two. Easily top two.
Yep.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Then
yep.
Who is top one? Just kidding. Don't answer that question.
You know what? They haven't arrived yet, but I always like to leave a possibility.
leave a space open.
Smart. Yeah.
Just the hope that this show brings, you know?
Kulap V. Lysok and Suchin Pak co-host the podcast Add to Cart. Thank you so much for joining us.
This was so fun. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Up next, from the amazing Key and Peele, Keegan-Michael Key. He'll join us for a segment that starts with fart jokes and ends with Shakespeare. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest-growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR. The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator for Planet Money podcast on NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. He's an Emmy Award-winning actor, one half of the sketch comedy duo Key and Peele, and his new Audible original series is called The History of Sketch Comedy. It's Keegan-Michael Key. Hello, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you for having me. I'm really, really happy to be here. Thank you, guys.
In May, you did a video about social distancing with, now former vice president, current president, Joe Biden, where you guys are playing cards and you're doing watercolors and chatting.
Yes, right.
Do you have a great I Met Joe Biden story?
We did a video on, I was with him on Super Tuesday. We're on the campaign trail and he was in California. And there was a really wonderful thing that he did. That we were doing a video together where I was playing Barack Obama, and he was his improvisational skills are very good. Because I was, you know, I was, you know, Joe, if you're looking for a VP, I'm available. And he was like, hey, man, you know, Barack, I'll tell you what, you're the greatest, man. Thank you. I need you to, I'm glad you're backing me up. He was right there with me. He was right there. I'm like, oh, look, do you want to go to Second City? We can go get the set afterwards. Yeah,
exactly.
Here's the most endearing thing that happened that day. We were at that event, and my wife, Elle, and I were there with friends, and they have a 3-year-old daughter. And this young girl was talking to the vice president, and he stopped and bent over, and they had a 3.5-minute conversation about Frozen and the fact that there is also Frozen 2, and we can't necessarily determine which is the better film. And it was so, it was fantastic how he was just talking to her, and she was like, and then there's Frozen, and they were having the most wonderful conversation, and he's surrounded by all these people, and he was just zoned in on this little 3-year-old girl. It was just delightful. Absolutely delightful.
That warms my heart on so many levels. I gotta say.
Very sweet.
You hosted the U.S. version of The Planet's Funniest Animals for 3 years.
I did.
You must know. What's the funniest animal? What one?
Okay. So hands down is a chimpanzee doing anything. It's really a chimpanzee doing... Actually, no. Not anything. They have to be either eating peanut butter or chewing gum. A distant second is just penguins falling down.
Right, right. That's a distant second. Always funny. That's always funny.
Because the flippers don't really. But you know when they're trying to like negotiate a small hill or slope.
No, it's so
sad. And they
go.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. I guess that says something about me then, doesn't it?
Right,
because hilarious.
You can't go in. No, but that's the basis. Just like anyone falling, you're like, that's pretty good.
Really the funniest thing is watching any lower primate flatulate and smell it on their hands and then fall down. Fall off. You seen that video where the one fell out and he falls out of the tree? That's the gold standard. Yeah. I mean, really, if we're being honest. That's the gold standard.
That's big in my house right now with a small child.
There you go. You've got an animal, you've got a farce, and you've got falling down.
Exactly. You got the big three.
Triple threat.
You got a full-fledged story. Yeah.
So in 2012, you and Jordan Peele created and starred in the Comedy Central sketch show Key and Peele, produced 298 sketches. Unbelievable. So,
yeah.
And I know that you met way before this and then worked together for years on Mad TV. But I didn't know until I read it that when you were casted, you guys were auditioning against each other?
Ostensibly, yes.
Yeah.
We were both being hired to replace another actor on the show who was leaving the show. And it was Jordan's brilliant tactical mind that said, wait a minute. It's like they're pitting us against each other.
Yeah.
What if we just write all of our scenes together or the majority of our scenes together and then we're indispensable? And I went, you are a genius. And so we started writing sketches together so that we were indispensable. And then what we would also do is we would rehearse scenes in our apartment. We lived together for a few months.
Okay.
So when I first moved to Los Angeles and we would rehearse the scenes. So instead of just reading them at a table read, we would get up and perform them at the table read. And so that the executive producers would have an actual sense of what the project
and they were like,
what the sketch was going to look like. And they're like, oh, that's great. So that's how it turned out. That's how we kind of ended up being. Now, prior to that, we had already become pretty good buddies because we just have very similar comedic sensibilities and grew up in similar socioeconomic situations. And so it was really, we were meant to be together, really.
And it worked.
It worked. It all worked.
And now you have a new Audible original podcast called The History of Sketch Comedy, and every episode explores moments in sketch history. And
yes.
I had no idea it goes back. I mean, it just goes back further than I thought. 1500s?
Sure.
What?
Oh, yeah. The thing that was so exciting about the 1500s was the movement known as Commedia dell'arte, which was improvisational theater. And I see your knowing nod
and,
there.
And
yes.
Comedy. And comedy, right?
And really comedy. Like doing comedy and doing topical comedy. Because what they would do is they'd have scenarios in place that they would do to every single town they went to. But then when they arrived at a town, they would do intel and they would find out if the mayor was having an affair or what was wrong with the magistrate. And then they would insert those people into the story that they were performing that evening. And then they would do little sketches inside the story. Some of the scenes had something to do with the plot, and other scenes they're just doing to have fun.
And they're making fun of authority in that sort of classic way. So
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Am I to assume then that even early sketch Commedia dell'arte players were not the popular kids?
I would say they were not the popular kids, right? They were listening to those weird lute sonatas. Yeah. While everybody else was listening to recorder. Like, you don't listen to recorder music? What a nerd. Lute. This guy over here. Look at this guy over here. Angelo. He listens to the lute. That's my Italian.
So, you know, as someone yourself who's written hundreds upon hundreds of sketches, and then you are finding out all about, you know, the history of sketch, does it just seem at a certain point that the gags, the premises, there's a finite amount, or that we are...
Yes, I'm a firm believer of what's known as the seven plot concept, that there are seven plots, mm-hmm. and then as you extrapolate out, there's about 49, it's 7 times 7. It's like 49 subplots. And that's about it. You, as they say, every story under the sun has been told. The exciting part is telling it in a new and different way. And so there are these finite stories because it's just it's these seven different wrinkles in the human condition. Chicken comes home to roost, wish fulfillment. You know, the poor person becomes rags to riches. So yep. Those are two. So there's really just those stories, and I think people in the Commedia figured out. They were like, we especially if you're hopping from town to town to town in Italy, you're just going, geez, it's the same stories. We just keep changing the names, and so it's the mayor here, the magistrate there, this guy's wife, whatever the case may be. And they just kept on coming across the same scenarios over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know so many of these things. And sketches, it always has been popular, but I feel like we are, you know, I think thanks to shows like yours, like we're in a sketch renaissance.
I completely and utterly agree.
So when you graduated in 1996 with a Master of Fine Arts from Penn State University, you said your plan at the time, do Shakespeare.
In 96, I wanted to move to Seattle, and where there was a booming theater scene, and I was going to start a theater with friends and only do Commedia ad absurdism.
Are you kidding me?
I was going to do Carl Goldoni plays. Oh yeah, that'll fill the seats. I'm doing an Ionesco festival. You know, that's what happens after you get a master's in fine arts.
That's amazing. All right, so are you ready for an Ask Me Another challenge?
I am ready. I am ready indeed.
So this is a guessing game called To Think Piece or Not to Think Piece. Mm-hmm. What you're going to do is help us update titles of some Shakespearean plays to improve upon their search engine optimization so they get the maximum click-throughs on the internet. It's very important.
I gotcha. Yeah, right, right.
So we are going to give you the original title, and then we're going to give you two pitches for the new title. You just tell us which one fits best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You got it. All right.
Okay. Well, let's start gentle.
We're going to start gentle.
Okay. So which of these clickbait headlines better applies to Romeo and Juliet?
Okay.
A, the Try Guys try not to fall in love. Or, would a rose by any other word smell as sweet? We asked three scientists.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wait, but you said Romeo and Juliet.
That's
a rose by any other name.
Right. So one actually applies to a different Shakespeare play.
That's right.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just flipped my plays in my brain because a rose pricking you would make you bleed, which is Merchant of Venice, and a rose by any other name is Romeo and Juliet. I'm sorry. It is the second one. I overthought my roses.
You knew too much about Shakespeare.
That's a problem.
That's right.
This is what always happens.
That's right. Exactly. Like, oh, I know that line. I know that line about the rose. Right.
Right. And just that's okay, from I have all the details. That's from Act 2, Scene 2, commonly known as the balcony scene.
The balcony
However,
scene. Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, there's no references to a balcony in the script.
Yeah, it's interesting. Isn't it interesting that you just go, it's always just been done on a balcony? And I'm like, they couldn't just do this in a thicket? It feels like it would have been really fun to do it in a thicket.
Okay, for a bonus point, do you know what play the other headline might refer to? The Try Guys Try Not to Fall in Love.
It's Love's Labor's Lost.
Yes! Yes,
Labor's Lost.
Yes, yes.
Well yes,
done.
Yeah.
All right, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
I'm impressed.
Oh, God, I might faint.
So, don't worry. No, we only have 25 of these.
Okay.
All right. Which one of these would apply best to Midsummer Night's Dream? A, mm-hmm. 12 surprising ways to transform your bottom. Or B, Imogen's brilliant sleep hack. Take some poison from an evil queen.
So it's definitely the first one.
That's
it's
right.
It's definitely the first one. You have to, yeah. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I... Bottom, of course, is the one character that we all remember from that one.
Yes.
And then, can I go for a bonus point?
Absolutely.
I'm sure. I shouldn't do that.
No.
The other one is a Winter's. The other one's a Winter's Tale.
No, we're going for a Cymbeline.
Oh, geez, British Queen. Yep, Cymbeline. That's right. Okay.
I mean, come on, that's not many people throw around.
That's
Cymbeline.
A way to sound smart. If you just say British Queen, you can just say British Queen anytime. You know, it's about women going, oh, British Queen.
That's right. Okay, this is, which one fits better for Anthony and Cleopatra? A, incredible transformation. Watch this man go from betrayed Roman dictator to a salad with anchovies on top. Or B, the one snake to avoid if you're an Egyptian monarch.
B. It's yes. definitely B. Yes, yeah.
<That's true. laughs>
The one snake to avoid.
Just one.
And that's funny because that was one of those when we would read that in school that you would giggle because I think the snake was an asp.
It was,
ooh,
yeah.
You are so right.
Right. So then, of course, when you're 12, that's the best thing because it's
best.
Only one letter off from the funniest word you're allowed to say right. when you read Shakespeare. Okay, can we read Midsummer Night's Dream again? Because Bottom has an ass's head.
You know,
he has an ass's head. Remember that
it's,
when you were 12?
Of course.
Yeah.
How simple pleasures.
But, you know, as we consider Shakespeare very highbrow, he was excellent at lowbrow humor. Excellent.
He really was. I mean, excellent. He was, I mean, the other thing is, he was like a popular writer. He was a populist writer. Because it's funny, he pretty much wrote, for the time, he wrote big blockbuster hits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I imagine the plays that he liked best were the ones that didn't do as well.
Right.
You know, the ones right. that were satisfying him artistically, right?
Yeah.
Right. Do you want to try to get the bonus point for the
Yeah, the
other
bonus
one?
Point. Yeah, Julius Caesar.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one for Hamlet. Quiz, is the statue of your murdered wife going to come back to life? Or reaction video, watch the king's conscience get caught by this play within a play.
Reaction video.
That
Watch his king's
correct.
Conscience get caught. Yes, 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 yes. One of my favorite scenes. My favorite scenes in Hamlet. Yeah.
The play within a play. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. You know, Shakespeare was also super into paranoia. I love it.
Love paranoia. Oh, yeah, yeah. He loved paranoia.
Everybody's getting
paranoia.
Poisoned all the time. I mean, you had to watch out.
Well, after Kit Marlowe died, everybody must have been on their P's and Q's. You know what I mean?
Sure,
you're just like,
I'm sure.
Who's around here just like poisoning playwrights? What the hell's going on?
Totally.
Oh, and for the bonus point, you know what play the other headline refers to?
Okay, now I'm going to go, again, I'm going to go either A Winter's Tale or Pericles.
Winter's Tale?
It's a Winter's Tale. Yeah, it's a Winter's Tale. Gotcha. Okay. Holy mackerel.
Yep. That's a good one. That's amazing.
They are rattling around in there.
These are some deep cuts, too. I mean,
this is like you take that record, that's the third track on the B side.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Nobody ever listens to that song.
We're talking like Timon of Athens over here.
I guess people might say, like, exit pursued by a bear. That's, like, the only thing, right?
Right, that everyone says from the more obscure play. Right, exactly, right. Yeah. Exit pursued by a bear, right.
All right, here's As You Like It. Unrecognizable, mm-hmm. You won't believe what Rosalind looks like dressed up as a boy shepherd. Or B, how many guys from a northern Italian town are after the same woman? The answer will shock you.
Rosalind, B.
Rosalind.
Or A. Yes.
That's right. I said it wrong. I said Rosalind. Terrible.
Oh.
That's.
Oh, that's okay. That's Rosalind. 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 We were talking. I mean, listen, roses are a theme today, so I think we can go with that pronunciation, right?
That is correct. Yeah. Okay, and how about the bonus? How many guys from a northern Italian town are after the same woman? The answer will shock you.
How many probably guys from the same town are from the same woman? It's two gentlemen in Verona.
Yes.
Two gentlemen in Verona. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
I was going to be right. Like, here's your hint too, but you beat me to it.
Right.
So well done.
All right, here is one more for you. This is the last one. For Othello, is it A, Love Aladdin? You won't believe what Iago gets up to in this play. Or is it B, Love Little Mermaid? You won't believe what Ariel gets up to in this play.
Gotcha. Okay, so A is Othello.
That is correct. Iago's the bad guy in Othello.
Right. And then B is Ariel, Prospero, Tempest.
Yeah, you got it.
Perfect.
Yes, the Tempest. Perfect.
Incredible mastery of a subject has been demonstrated today. We are all
incredible.
We're all impressed.
I mean, I'm in complete awe.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you, guys. No, well, I appreciate you introducing the bonus point. It's so funny. I guess I really like that guy and the plays that he wrote.
Keegan-Michael Key's new Audible original series, The History of Sketch Comedy, is available now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. This was an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Kate Villa, Emily Winter, and senior writers Eric Feinstein and Andrew Kane, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, Rumel Wood, and our intern Sophie Hernandez-Simeonithis. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm Hooray Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, you're still listening. Fantastic. So since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We'd love to hear from you, and it also helps others find out about our show. For information about new episodes, bonus videos, and more, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks. Next time on Ask Me Another, from an episode we taped in July, it's RuPaul's Drag Race winner, Bob the Drag Queen. He chats about how his new HBO docuseries, We're Here, is empowering LGBTQ communities all over the country. Plus, he's challenged to a game that includes his favorite things. So join me on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
You care about what's happening in the world. Let State of the World from NPR keep you informed. Each day, we transport you to a different point on the globe and introduce you to the people living world events. We don't just tell you world news, we take you there. And you can make this journey while you're doing the dishes or driving your car. State of the World podcast from NPR. Vital international stories every day.